Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, allegedly.
I'm smart.
Happy Monday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie. Happy gay summer, Mel.
Happy hump day, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm not humping anybody. I'm Rebecca Lavoie.
Happy Saturday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
Oh, no.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and my mic is muted.
Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and that's Briscoe.
And welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we swat the haters aside with our astute takes and humor and joy.
Oh, the joylessness of those people. Hags.
You hear it first in the break in the story. One little crack and the whole thing gets wary. A witness swears, but the timeline bends. A smile too smooth and the trail just ends. Mel Barrett says, hold up, look. It's not the truth, there's a shadow line running through the room. Something's off, something's off. You can feel it in the bones. Something's off, something's off. When the facts won't come home. Something's off, something's off. And the case won't stay in place. Something's off. We're the ones who chase.
We're gonna go members only.
Yeah, we're the ones who chase. Wait, did that witness just blink three times? Something's off. Something's off.
Rebecca Lavoie.
Good morning. I forgot to tell you, somebody wrote me yesterday and said that we should edit out the swear in our opening video because it plays on a loop and we're probably demonetizing ourselves.
What swear? What is it?
You said, I don't give an effedness in the opening video. You drop an F-bomb, Mel. It's all you. Always.
I mean, this is part of our vernacular. Like, mm-hmm. All the kids say it. Why would we get demonetized for saying fuck?
Because YouTube has an algorithm. And they push down things that they see as inappropriate.
Let's go. Let's go, lesbians. Let's go.
And they want to disincentivize bad behavior.
Is this because I'm a lesbian?
Yes, this is because we're being demonetized because I'm a lesbian.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, just in case you're wondering.
Oh my God, what are you doing, Shelly? Good morning, ladies. My daughter-in-law is in labor as we speak with our first grandbaby. We are over the moon and had to tell someone.
Shelly, you're doing the right thing. Here's what you're doing the right thing. You're not there. You're not lurking in the hospital. Your daughter-in-law does not want that. Your daughter-in-law wants to be alone with her partner if she has one doing this. She does not want a bunch of old people lurking around waiting for a baby to stick its head out of her privates. You are doing the right thing by enjoying yourself, watching this stream instead of standing outside that hospital room looking in like this. Good job. I'm proud of you, Shelly. All these intrusive parents who want to be there when their daughter has a baby coming out of their privates. Nobody wants that. What's that? Out of a cubby, yes. That's right.
A lot of people in the chat are asking how you're feeling today.
I'm feeling good today.
Okay.
Yesterday was the first day that my back didn't get worse. And yes, I drank a lot during our members only, but I went to bed early. I'm feeling great. I had my milk thistle.
Oh, Jesus.
That shit works. I'm sorry. That shit works.
That's pretty gay.
It works.
Hey, I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying it sounds a little gay is all I'm saying.
Oh my goodness. Someone's saying Shelly could be on her phone at the hospital. Shelly's not at the hospital. See, Shelly says I'm not at the hospital.
Emily C says something's definitely off with Gretchen Voss.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
here to talk about.
Love Emily's take on. Emily makes an appearance in the article. Emily's
yes,
got a cameo.
Does. Yes, she does. We had a great members only last night. That was a lot of fun. We went through the Julie Albert interviews and it was cringy and it was weird.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I want to play it on IMAX at the Hooksett Theater where I watched The Odyssey. I actually could watch that.
Loud.
It didn't make me that uncomfortable. Like I could watch
really?
That Julie Albert. Oh, yeah. I could watch that all day. That was a good one.
Okay. All right. duly noted. I have to find something that makes you more embarrassed next time. That's fine. Oh man, here come the gems, Rebecca. Everybody kept giving us gems last night, and we were both like,
I don't know what that means.
Can some of the kids in the chat explain what the gems are?
It makes me feel like a cam girl. Can't you just like throw us a tip in a super chat instead? Our tip link, by the way, is glued right here at the bottom of the chat. Feel free to use it. Feel free to use it. I need to go to audiology treatments now to restore my hearing after watching The Odyssey. So if you want to keep my podcasting career going, then yes, everyone says, I do agree. Do not go if not invited. Please respect. Exactly. No one wants their mother-in-law looking at their baby door. They just don't.
One of our lovely YouTube family sent me a coffee cup that has a little warming plate.
Oh, I love those.
On which list.
Kevin has one of those. Yeah.
I love it. I'm so excited. It came this morning. Thank you so much, whoever you are. You didn't send me a little note, so I don't know who you are, but thank you. Okay, so I have a little bit of a hard out today because today is tennis training day.
Let's go.
And we were going to talk about Julie Albert's interview, but I think we fully covered that last night. And now we are talking about this article that came out from Boston Magazine, written by one Miss Gretchen Voss.
What's the title? Want to go ahead and read the title?
Inside the Campaign That Acquitted Karen Reid for 3 years. For 3 years, the witnesses in the Karen Reid murder trial were harassed at their jobs, their homes, their children's sports games. It wasn't random. It wasn't a movement of true believers. It was a coordinated campaign against them. And now they're fighting back. Testify.
Okay. This is when I'm going to throw out my bona fides for this conversation, or bona fides, as some people like to pronounce it. I am a journalist. I have written many, many magazine features just like this. And not just like this, but like in the same style. The one thing that I want people to say, and I said this in the stream last night, and I'm going to say it again. This is unserious and unimportant. This is Boston Magazine. This is a magazine that people read to get to look inside Beacon Hill homes for sale, to get to read fun features about whatever scandal. This is the same magazine that printed the Karen Reid case tearing the town of Canton apart. This is a juicy, featurey magazine that will be in dentist offices for the next like 2 years. That is what this is. I'll never forget, I once wrote a piece for New Hampshire Magazine that I thought was legitimately going to like break news.
Yeah.
Because it was on one of the anniversaries of the Challenger explosion. And I wrote this long feature about the Challenger and Krista McAuliffe and all those things, because, you know, she's from New Hampshire, yada, yada, yada. A couple interesting things came out of that, my reporting. One is that there was a school shooting at Concord High School 3 weeks before the Challenger explosion. So the Concord High School staff, when they lost Krista McAuliffe, already had like a press team and a press plan in place because they had just dealt with a crisis, which is interesting. Second, this is the part that I thought was going to break news. There's this report, this NASA report at the time that was like, people had seen it, but had never made news of any kind and never hit the media, that the astronauts, all seven of them, were very likely alive, or at least some of them were alive after the Challenger separated and the piece went into the ocean, that they were alive for that entire descent. And I was like, this is going to make news, because I found this report. I wrote up as a sidebar. I'm like, people are going to be talking about this. No, nobody cares. Nobody cares, because despite the whole thing, it was just
okay.
So this is deeply unserious. I know people are mad. They're all upset. But the more angry you are about it, the more important this piece of not great journalism becomes. So let's just put it in perspective. No judge is going to be like, but according to Gretchen Voss, you were wrong. In the Boston Magazine. I read that in my dentist office.
I have to say this comment because I love this idea. Miss Jessica says, can we get a Dear Mel and Rebecca column? How fun would that be, Rebecca? We have to figure out a way to do that.
I love doing an advice show. I do one at my show with my husband called Married With Podcast on our Patreon. It's my favorite thing that we do. Yeah.
Non-conversational really wants you to say something about how good my hair looks today.
Your hair looks great, Mel.
I don't think it looks that great. I was like kind of fussing with it before. Thank you. Thanks, Higgy. but it's very curly. I got it cut yesterday, and usually the day or two after I get it cut, it's just insane. It's like, oh, we're live again. And it goes crazy and curly, and it's humid here again. So, but thank you.
I like it when your hair is straight and sticks straight up. That's my favorite look that you do.
And
when I come on and you're like this.
When summer's over, I'll probably go back to that but I can't do it right now because it's too humid. And I have curly hair. Okay. Let's get into this. I have a heart out.
Let's discuss it. Okay. Here we go.
20 minutes.
Let's read along, shall we?
Yes.
Jennifer McCabe spotted him coming across the bleachers at her daughter's lacrosse game. Aiden Carney, the blogger who goes by the name of Turtle Boy, arrived in a mask and then pulled it off. He wasn't hiding. He shoved his phone, the video rolling in her face. Hey, Jen, are you worried about what's going to happen to your family when you go to jail?
Jen.
She looked straight ahead from under her baseball cap, trying to ignore him, trying to disappear as other parents gawked. Jen, did you think you could outsmart Karen Reed? Yes or no? Okay.
Wait, hold on.
Guess what kind of mask he was wearing? Was he wearing a balaclava? No. He was wearing a freaking COVID mask.
COVID mask.
Everybody was at the time.
And the thing, one of the details that we're missing in this little scene is that just before this, Jen McCabe was all pissed off at, what was his name? The one with the daughter who called in.
Oh, Tom Beatty.
Tom Beatty. She and her mean girls were yelling at Tom Beatty to get out of here. You can't sit with us because you've been talking to Turtle Boy or whatever. So don't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not some like innocent little fucking snowflake trying to ignore a journalist asking her questions.
Mm. School officials eventually moved in and escorted Carney from the stadium in Billerica, but he didn't go quietly. Cop killers. That's what they are. They're cop killers. He hollered as they walked him out.
Hollered.
Cop he was referring to was John O'Keefe, a Boston police officer found dead in the snow in Canton on the morning of January 29th, 2022. He had last been seen alive earlier that night after drinking at two local bars when he got into Reed's Lexus SUV with her during a Nor apostrophe Easter. Let's go back. Let's go down a little bit because, you know, the details of the case, I think we know. So we can just talk about some of Gretchen's embellishments and editorial. So Carney was the first to report the alternative theory, raising questions about what had, until then, been seen as an open and shut case, at least on the manslaughter charge. Carney's coverage. He has published more than 550 blog posts in his Canton cover-up series, along with thousands of tweets and hundreds of live streams, spawned a free Karen Reed movement that spread across Massachusetts and beyond. Fueled by a quasi-religious fervor, the movement cast the witnesses as villains and public enemies, accusing them of framing an innocent woman to evade justice. Mel, did you realize how religious we are about this?
I think what she's trying to say is that we're a cult. I think that's why saying religious.
No.
Yeah. Can we just really quickly, I just want to make sure that we have Saint Julie watching over us while we're reading this. So can you stop sharing for a second so I can add Saint Julie to the screen? Yes. Just so everyone knows that she's watching. There she is. Here's our Julie Albert. Okay.
Julie. We need the Duplass brothers to make a new documentary like Wild Wild Country, except it's about Turtle Boy.
I think we need more of like a Tiger King documentary about Turtle Boy.
There's a small dog that lives next door that will not stop barking, and it's making Briscoe crazy. And I understand I'm being hypocritical, so he also now will not stop barking, but whatever. Anyway, what few people know is that the harassment of the witnesses, lies make me cough.
Do you want me to take it over?
No, I really don't, Mel.
Okay.
I would like to tell you this story. Really, this story. By the way, you're all going to learn so much about my shopping habits by the ads that are popping up in this magazine story. Yes, I have been looking for framed art for my new office at work. What few people know, though, is that the harassment of the witnesses or anyone who dared to question Reed's defense, including this reporter who has covered the case since its early days, was in fact orchestrated by Reed herself and at times coordinated with her defense team. According to now public text exchanges between Reed and Carney, often through an intermediary, Reed dictated to Carney exactly what he should write and know. Her attorneys leaked confidential information to him, and together they orchestrated the harassment of the witnesses. All the while,
you sit on a throne of lies.
Publicly denied any contact with Carney. Even the line, "Did you think you could outsmart Karen Reed?" that Carney spat at McCabe as
spat.
She went into herself at that lacrosse game, had been dictated by Reed. Thoughts.
Wrong.
My thought, well, I'll give you more thoughts when we get to the end of this, because yeah, mine are more okay. Like sort of overall ethical issues yeah. that I have with this. And then also, I mean, it's very one-sided and it's very much reminiscent of what our legacy media is doing these days. I'll just say that for now.
All right. Let's talk about that now, because I just want to, I'm going to defend Gretchen Voss and Boston Magazine here for a second. Okay.
Okay.
This is a juicy fucking point of view feature that magazines do. This is okay. why I'm saying this is not a big deal. So, but Gretchen Voss knows a lot about the case. She wants to write another piece for Boston Magazine. They're like, well, what is your angle this time? Everyone mm-hmm. has covered this to death. She's like, well, my angle is about the secret campaign orchestrated behind the scenes. And they're like, oh, okay. That sounds interesting. Do that. Like, this is what magazines do. I don't blame the magazine. This is the shit magazines do. Like, it's not different than the New Yorker did a piece with Patrick Clancy, Lindsay Clancy's husband, about how she is sick and that's why she killed their kids. Not that she's a monster. That is an interesting feature story about a criminal case mm-hmm. that is a different angle than other coverage of it. This is what magazines do. This is so unserious. And there's yeah. no like nefarious shit going on here. Gretchen thought she had an angle. She ran with it. She had pre-written the piece before she did any of the reporting of the piece in her head, because that's what you do. You write out a frame, you pitch your frame to the magazine, and then you report to fill the frame. Very rarely when you're doing a low-stakes magazine feature, except for The New Yorker, which is real journalism, very rarely does the angle or bent of your article change after your original pitch, because that was the pitch that they bought. And no, this is not going to hurt Turtle Boy's case. It's a fucking Boston Magazine article that will be dentist offices and chiropractors offices for 2 years. Like,
now, if the legacy media, however, were running with this story all across the nation, then maybe that's what I mean. You know, when somebody picks up a story like this, I mean, here's what I'll say. We've looked at the numbers of the people in Massachusetts who believe that the cops in this case and the investigators in this case are corrupt as fuck. We've already seen the numbers. The numbers are overwhelming. Everyone thinks that something went wrong in this case and that Karen Reed is factually innocent. The people that Gretchen Voss is representing in this story are like 5% of the population.
Yeah.
And to me, it feels like she's writing something, this is my opinion, obviously, pretty much everything Rebecca and I say here in this episode specifically, all opinions based in our own work and research and how we conduct ourselves as journalists. But this is not a journalism piece. This is a fluff piece. This is not about hard hitting facts.
I mean, to her, it is. This is the story she pitched. She gathered the facts that fit the story. This is protected. Someone saying this is not protected speech. This is protected speech.
Yes.
Because she's telling a story from a point of view of the people on the other side. She linked to things. She used information. This is 100% protected. Don't tell me this is not. She's not doing defamation.
I'm not
here.
Telling you that. I'm not.
No, no. Somebody in the chat is saying this is defamation. It's not. This is just a, this is an angle. It's a bad, uninformed, silly angle. But it's an angle.
The thing that sticks out and bothers me the most about this, and where I do think some people might read it and be like, yeah, that is fucked up. She is really pushing this angle that Karen Reed and her attorneys coordinated this media campaign by leaking information to
they did. Boy. Who cares?
That's my point. But like, I'm using that incendiary language that she's using, right?
Yeah.
So the ethical misstep here for me is that you're allowed to do that. If you are if you are fighting for your life, like if you're on trial for a murder of your boyfriend, defendants have constitutional rights to investigate their own case. That's why they hire private eyes. That's why they hire investigators. And in this case, they were presenting a third party culprit defense in the first trial. So the idea that she's trying to make it sound nefarious, that Karen Reed and or her attorneys were communicating with Turtle Boy and that he was then reporting on what he was being given, there's nothing nefarious about that. Lawyers do it all the time. All the time. You are fighting for your life. You are allowed to give interviews. Unless there's a gag order on you or on the case, you are allowed to give interviews. You are allowed to share information. You are allowed to say, this is what they're not telling you in court, because you've done your own investigation. You are allowed to do that. And Ms. Gretchen Voss is trying to make it seem like that's nefarious. Like that shouldn't happen. Real journalists wouldn't do that. Real lawyers wouldn't do that. It's bullshit. Anyway.
What she said here, I'm defending Gretchen Voss on one thing. What she said is that they fed her information while denying that they did that. That is true. They did feed him information while denying that they did that. I'm also like,
again, so what?
But I'm just saying, when people talk about it being defamation, like that actually is true. The idea behind this story, the notions behind it are wrongheaded, because we all have eyes, ears, and brains. But it's fair game for someone who thinks this is a good angle on a feature. In my opinion, it's not, which is what makes it funny, which is why we shouldn't be taking it seriously. It is a choice.
It's a choice that Voss is making to focus on what she's calling witness intimidation, basically.
It gets worse.
And not focus on the actions of, I don't know, the corrupt police officers and Michael Proctor. Like, she could have done an entire expose on Michael Proctor. She chose to do this. And that, to me, there's motivation behind that. I don't know what the motivation is. But
the motivation is to harm Adam Deitch's chances of winning district attorney. That's because that's what this comes down to. This really comes down to federal stuff, which we are just about to get to. Is this magazine fluff like an Inquirer? People take it seriously, but they don't take it like seriously. Like this is not the NPR station. And this is like a featuring magazine. This is like, it's not the New Yorker. It's New York, if that makes sense to people. Okay. Equally troubling, it seems the Reed legal team brought their case to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Massachusetts. A federal inquiry into the handling of the police investigation into O'Keefe's death followed. This federal investigation, which departed from standard investigative practices in a way that legal experts have questioned, what legal experts, resulted in Reed's defense team gaining access to evidence they may not have otherwise obtained, including lead police investigator Michael Proctor's personal text messages. Good. The federal investigation ultimately went nowhere, but its mere existence lent legitimacy to Carney's accusations, gave much of the public the impression that the witnesses might be perpetrators of the crime, and quite possibly affected the outcome of the trial itself. Meanwhile, instead of protecting witnesses to a crime, the feds left them hanging out to dry, as the harassment fueled by public knowledge of the federal investigation itself continued to upend their lives. This is where the article delves into absolute nuttiness.
Yep.
That this is when it just gets funny, because everything she's saying here is technically true. Reed's team did likely bring the case to the feds. The federal investigation did unearth the Proctor text messages. The federal investigation did change potentially the outcome of the trial, because there was evidence, like from ARCA, for instance, that they wouldn't have had it not been for that investigation.
Yeah.
The premise here, though, that the feds were on some sort of wild goose hunt so that the defense could get some sort of weird fake evidence. That's wild. That's
a
wild
segue into Fairy Raven, who's been a member for 3 months. Thank you so much, Fairy. Into this comment, lots of Voss interview reeks of crusty.
Oh yeah, it does.
We're talking about Kate Peter when we say crusty.
Worst nickname ever. I hate it so much. I prefer just to call her Kate Peter. All right.
Wait a minute. This was not Gretchen Voss. This was Terry Dunmuir, the documentary, the producer of the documentary, Body in the Snow.
Yes.
She's the one who pointed out the ham sandwich.
Correct.
In the footage.
Correct. I'm pretty sure, yeah, the note my objection lady is a primary legal source in here. It's just like Wendy Murphy or whatever. Okay. the legal sources in this are like that fake lawyer that Plevin and pretends to
anonymous.
Be.
Yeah.
Anonymous Mads lawyer.
Plevin.
All right. Now, a little over a year after Reed was acquitted of killing O'Keefe, the witnesses who continue to suffer harassment. By the way, the reason I say harassment sometimes is because back in the days of the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings, mm-hmm. when sexual harassment became a thing that America was actually talking about for the first time, like en masse, news reporters hated saying the word harassment on the air. So they changed the pronunciation of it to harassment, which I always found very funny to hear like Peter Jennings say the sexual harassment, whatever. Anyway, harassment. Yeah, it's harassment. Okay. They have secured legal representation from the famed Sandy Hook lawyer, Chris Matty, who took down Alex Jones and won the largest defamation verdict in U.S. history and are suing Reed and Carney for defamation. I love John and I loved his niece, Kaylee, who called me at 4:53 that morning, McCabe says today. All I did was answer a call and try to help. And for that, my life has been destroyed. My life has been destroyed.
Destroyed.
Okay. It was 2:07 on April 18th, 2023, when Carney sent a message from his home in Holden. He had been typing feverishly, working on his initial blog post about the murder of John O'Keefe. Now he attached it to a message for an intermediary between him and Reed. Quote, read it over. Quote, change exonerating to exonerate at the end of first paragraph, Reed responded through an intermediary at 2:09 a.m. according to an extraction of Carney's cell phone, which was obtained by prosecutors as a result of witness intimidation charges against Carney, became public after he sent it to a now former girlfriend and others. He has a niece and nephew. By the way, he could use Karen Reed for some more editing here and now. Here, and
yes,
now.
Yes.
There are times there's some grammar shit in there that I'm just like, Aiden. Please, I don't want to be your editor, but I do it as a volunteer activity. If you would just send me these things in advance sometimes. Okay. Keep them coming and I'll live edit it, said Carney. All right. So this is basically about this is about Reed feeding him information. Natalie, the German, whose name I guess is Natalie Vivek. I don't know.
Can I just make a point? Can I say one thing before
Absolutely.
We go further? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you read this, but I don't know if you heard yourself when you said it, when you read it, but she actually calls them witnesses to a crime.
Yeah. Well, they were witnesses to a crime as far as the date was concerned, because they accused Karen Reed of murder and they were witnesses in a murder case. So they were witnesses to a crime as far as the state was concerned. That was their designation.
They would emphatically disagree with that. They were not witnesses to a crime. They didn't see it happen. They were just witnesses who, you know, who knew John and knew Karen and they were called into a trial and da 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 da. They would not, I think they would actually disagree with categorizing them as witnesses to a crime because they all say they saw nothing.
I don't think they would disagree with it because that's their special designation that gives them special treatment.
Jesus Christ.
It is. That's the designation they lean into.
I know.
You know?
Oh, Carney. Hey, Denise.
Oh, here we go. There was other information. Oh, I ordered myself some tiny hands. I suggest you do the same.
Okay.
Mine are
Denise
today.
Said, Voss is to journalism as the note my objection lady is to lawyering. Yes.
I'm, again, just going to say, Gretchen Voss is not a bad writer, and some of her journalism has been quite good. I've read lots of pieces she's written because I've gone back and looked at her archive. She just has a very, very bad take on this story. But again, if I was a magazine editor at Boston Magazine, I'd be going to pitch me another fucking Karen Reed story. You better make it different than everything else that's out there. And that's what she did here. And it's getting a lot of attention because people are taking it so seriously. And this is Kevin. Can you confirm that a feature article in Boston Magazine is not going to move a real world needle? Yes or no? He agrees. No, it will not. It will be in a dentist office for 2 years.
Show us your cake. People laugh at it. Show us your cake.
He's not going to show you his cake. That's not a thing. Stop sexualizing my husband.
He loves it. Stop.
Exactly. He says a magazine no one reads inside a newspaper no one reads. This is Boston Magazine, honey. Yeah. Gretchen Voss is at it again. Okay. There was other information Reed wanted to make sure Carney had. Quote, she started sending me pictures of Jen McCabe, Colin's battered knuckles, all different Alberts, and just who's who. Wiecki, who now regrets her support of Reed, told me. That included a photo from Reed, which Carney published, supposedly showing State Police lead investigator Michael Proctor with McCabe's daughters. In fact, they were not McCabe's daughters. Fun fact, one of the felony witness intimidation charges that Aiden Carney was charged with was publishing the photo of Jen McCabe parked in front of Michael Proctor's house, which was then also part of the information that they were able to glean that they had a prior relationship with the Proctors. Anyway, Carney called himself an investigative reporter, but his first blog was based entirely on court documents from the defense, including a motion and a 92-page affidavit filed 5 days earlier on April 12th. In it, Reed and his celebrity attorney from Los Angeles, Alan Jackson, argued that Brian Albert and his nephew, Colin Albert, were responsible for O'Keefe's death and that Jennifer McCabe helped cover it up along with investigators. The morning that first blog hit, it jolted the tight-knit Canton community, ripping through group chats and youth sports sidelines. That's some purple writing right there. The witnesses' phones started blowing up, their DMs filling with questions and accusations in the face of the online harassment. The witnesses rushed to shut down their social media accounts. Reed appeared pleased with the fallout. Quote, they're all folding, she texted Connie through Wiecki. For Carney, the reaction was welcome. His page views, largely from readers who called themselves turtle riders, surged to a reported 80,000 a day that April, up from about 40,000, according to figures Carney previously provided to Boston. Many of those followers would form part of the Free Karen Reed movement, acting as foot soldiers in a campaign against the witnesses that he directed after taking his own marching orders from Reed and her lawyers.
Her celebrity lawyers.
Yes, her celebrity lawyers. Okay, let's move on.
This is Gretchen's valid truth journey.
It is. It sure is. Let's see. Inside the courthouse, the next step in the campaign was about to unfold. 2 weeks earlier, on April 20th, just days after publishing his first post, Carney had spoken with Reed's defense team, who confirmed to him the federal investigation was underway, according to Carney's phone extraction and admissions Carney later made in his YouTube live stream, where he acknowledged that Reed's team had been his source. That same day after the call, Carney posted a blog detailing the federal probe. In it, Carney wrote, according to reliable sources close to the matter, a federal grand jury has subpoenaed multiple witnesses who were in the home of Boston police officer Brian Albert on the night following BPD officer John O'Keefe was killed. The FBI has taken over the investigation and they have visited the homes of multiple witnesses. He confirmed, quote, with 100% certainty that Jennifer McCabe had received a subpoena, even though federal grand jury information is supposed to be strictly confidential. Okay. Is it true that she received a subpoena, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter that it was supposed to be secret and that he knew that fact, yes or no?
No.
It does not matter. It does not matter. How is this not? Okay. Someone asked, how is this not defamation? How is it defamation? There's nothing in here that isn't technically true. It's the framing of it you don't like. It's not the facts of it that you don't like. Yeah. We're going to get to the juicy good parts later. Don't worry. But this part, this is not defamation. I think you guys love you all very much, but I would maybe just do a little bit reading about defamation before you call things you don't like defamation. This is just bad journalism. That's not defamation. Okay. I want to get to the federal part. The purpleness of it is what's funny to me. Purple being, of course, like floridness. On May 3rd, the defense team's leak came full circle. Quote, it's been reported that federal authorities have now gotten involved in circumstances surrounding this case and have been paneled a federal grand jury to investigate some of the circumstances, Jackson announced to the court. Then, raising his voice for dramatic effect, that's the purple part, he added, Karen Reed should not have to wait for the feds to figure out which heads should roll. Jackson was able to speak about federal involvement and the grand jury in open court and having entered it into the public record because it had already been reported by Turtle Boy. In a later court filing opposing a proposed gag order, Jannetty argued that Jackson had, quote, merely been reiterating what had already been publicly reported, not, he said, revealing anything about the grand jury being impaneled, something about which the defense team would have no knowledge. What Jannetty did not say was that it was reported because he had leaked it. All true. True, 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 true. True, true, true. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Wait, okay. Get to the part where Deitch yells at Colin.
I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Yada, yada, yada. All right. Did you kill John O'Keefe? Colin Albert says Adam Deitch, an assistant U.S. attorney, yelled at him. No, he replied, shocked. Tell us the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, again, not defamation. She says that Colin Albert says this.
Right.
Okay? All right. All right. It was a suffocatingly hot day in late July 2023 when Colin was called to testify before the federal grand jury in the Moakley courthouse, Colin recalls. The Moakley courthouse, by the way, is air-conditioned. 19 years old and recently finished with his freshman year at Bridgewater State, where he played football. He says he didn't understand why he was even there. No surprise there.
No surprise, Colin. None of us understand anything.
No surprise there. Colin's lawyer was not allowed inside the small square room where rows of jurors faced him. Yes, because that's how grand juries work, Gretchen Voss. Not one, as is customary, but two federal attorneys questioned him. You don't know what's customary in federal grand juries.
No.
Well, Colin said it wasn't customary, so therefore it can't be.
Colin would know.
Two of them were Adam Deitch, a U.S. assistant attorney who is now running for Norfolk County DA, and Josh Levy.
Ding, ding, ding.
The acting U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts, a role that doesn't typically question witnesses. What? What is she talking about?
What?
What is she talking about? Beyond Colin's shoulder, Carney's tweets and blogs were projected onto a screen, Colin says. Every single thing came Colin from him. Says. They didn't use anything else. Nothing else, Colin tells me.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Noting they didn't even bother to take Carney's name off the screenshots. Why would they?
Hold up. Hold up.
Yes.
I would like to know when Colin gave her this interview.
Likely right before he went into the military, because she interviewed Aidan Carney like 3 or 4 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was probably around the same time. So probably right before he went to the military. Or
so he had time to sit down with Gretchen Voss, but time to do a deposition. Okay. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking. Colin.
Thank you for saying you like the artwork. That's from a website I've been looking at for new art for my new office at work, which I may or may not be getting. I just got a promotion and like, it's going to come with an office, but what office it is yet to be determined. I'm going to have an office. Cool. An office.
Take me to dinner.
Behind Colin. Okay. I did take you to dinner.
I know. I was just about to say you did just take me to dinner.
The funniest part about dinner was that Lindsay, Mel's partner, ordered 3 dishes.
Okay. This is the thing about Lindsay. Lindsay loves restaurants. She loves to eat, but she wants to try everything. So she always orders usually like the small plates or appetizers or whatever. And she orders like the first date we went on, she literally ordered probably 10 dishes.
It was hot. It was hot. And also she put a hurting on those 3 dishes.
She loves it.
I brought 2/3 of my bibimbap home. She ordered 3 things. And it was like one.
She shared
with herself and us. I was very impressed. I was very, very impressed. Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Got to get back to
She did try to give you money, though. I mean, that's the other thing.
And
she
I said, no, you were in our town. You were in our town. It was our town. We pay.
Conquered.
When we go to D.C., you'll pay, and it will cost a lot more. According to Colin, the material federal prosecutors put before the grand jury originated with Carney. Okay, blah, blah, blah. After hours of confrontational, combative questioning, Colin asked for a break, went to the small room where his lawyer waited, and broke down. When it was all over, he broke down again in his father's car. I couldn't stop shaking. I couldn't even speak, Colin says. I was like, what the fuck did they do to me in there?
They're trying to accuse me of a murder that I may have committed.
He can't even keep the F-bombs in when he's talking to a magazine. You just got us demonetized, Colin. Why did you have to put the F-bomb in your article?
You looking for sandals, Rebecca?
No, I'm not looking for sandals.
You looking for clogs?
You're looking for some practical nursing clogs? No, I'm not. I don't know why that shoe ad is there. Who's that ad for? I don't know. I want to click on it. All right. Norfolk County District Attorney Michael Morrissey has called the federal intervention into his office's murder case, quote, unprecedented. Actually,
you know what's unprecedented, Meatball? It's getting in front of the camera and saying that none of these people were in the house. None of them saw what happened to John O'Keefe. They're just simple witnesses in a trial. Leave them alone. They don't know anything. But wait, they actually do.
As a journalist, this would be a good time to mention that the feds also intervened in a case that they did not prosecute with regard to Sandra Birchmore. So yes, there is actually a ongoing pattern of the feds doing things parallel. It's not unprecedented, actually.
Well, and some would say that the reason we know about the Karen Reed federal investigation is because it started with the Sandra Birchmore case.
It could happen. It could happen. It could be true. He is not the only one. According to a former U.S. attorney who worked in the office's public corruption unit, it's rare for the federal government to open a parallel investigation into an active state homicide case, and rarer still for the murder defendant's attorneys to bring the case to them. How exactly the Reeds, here we go. This is what gets so good. How exactly the Reeds defense team got the ear of the U.S. attorney's office before the federal investigation began remains unclear. What's clearer is a series of documented connections, some direct, some circumstantial, between people around Reed's case and people around the federal office that took it up. Yannetti had a prior relationship with Rachel Rollins, the U.S. attorney for Massachusetts, in the fall of 2022 when the federal probe began. He had been invited to serve on Rollins' transition team when she took office in 2019. According to multiple sources, including Morrissey, Rollins deeply disliked Morrissey, whom she had publicly accused of being misogynistic.
And she was probably right. But here's the thing that I hate about this, what she's doing right here, is she's trying to act like, okay, so if I have information that a crime may have been committed, or that maybe a government official is hiding, covering up a crime, and I take that to the feds, and they take my information, they conduct a short investigation to figure out if there's any there. If they find that there is there, guess what, guys? They're going to investigate it. So it doesn't matter who came to the feds, and everyone in this case knows that Alan Jackson, David Yannetti, Eliza Little, and then eventually Bob Alessi and everybody else involved, including Karen, thinks that this was a shitty investigation by the cops, and that they were trying to frame Karen Reed for something that she did not do. If I were in Karen Reed's shoes, I would walk that straight into an FBI office. Better yet, if I had a connection, I would be like, can you look at this? Like, this is mm-hmm. what they're doing to me. And if you did do that, and then it's not like the feds can just be like, you know what we're going to do today, guys? It's a Tuesday. Let's go investigate Michael Morrissey's office just for funsies. They have to have probable cause.
Right. And Christ. There's this idea that like feds just do what they want for fun at that time. Good times. Okay, doke. Okay. Let's keep going here. All right. A former U.S. attorney told me that Carney's blog was something federal prosecutors in the office would read. Most of the time it was nothing, he said, but 10% of the time there might be something there. The office had, in fact, brought a public corruption case that Carney's blog had covered aggressively. Monica Cannon Grant, a prominent activist whom Levi Chow and Deitch would indict and prosecute for, among other things, defrauding the city of Boston out of COVID relief funds. Carney denies ever having spoken to anyone in the U.S. attorney's office. Public corruption cases. So, by the way, they're saying that Carney wrote about something that they actually also investigated. They are not saying that Carney is a source. They are saying that Carney actually covered something that turned out to, in fact, be a crime. This actually kind of bolsters his credibility, in my opinion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Public corruption cases are notoriously hard to bring, the former assistant U.S. attorney told me. When there aren't two political parties investigating one another, prosecutors are desperate for and rely on tips, he says, and take them from wherever they can, be it the Boston Globe spot night team or Carney, anonymous whistleblowers, even a murder defendant. For her part, Reed claimed in her communications with Carney and others she says she had a direct line to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Okay, anyway. There's actually a missing word here. It should have the word "not" to have a direct line.
Let me read it.
It doesn't. It's an incomplete sentence. For her part, Reed claimed in her communications with Carney and others, to have a direct line to the U.S. Attorney's Office. It should say not, because the next sentence.
It's right. Reed claimed, for her part, in her communications with Carney and others to have a direct line to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
But then it says, okay, I guess so. None of this fully explains how Reed's defense team got their case before the U.S. Attorney's Office. I mean, didn't you just say that she claimed to have a direct line? Anyway, why the office took it up may be less mysterious. The former assistant U.S. attorney told me that the opportunity to potentially expose a major cover-up involving the state police, Canton PD, and the DA's office would have been, in his words, right in the wheelhouse of any U.S. attorney's office and a career defining for whoever who led it. That was Levy. Yeah. No shit, right? That literally is their job.
That's
literally
it. That's
their job.
Actually, this I thought this comment was great. Risa B said, if you can't trust the cops to investigate a cop's murder, you go to the feds. That's literally their avenue.
Right. Yes. Right. However, it all went down in September 22, according to a statement from Jackson in court, the feds subpoenaed the defense's entire case file. Morrissey says his office reached out to Levy multiple times, offering to share the state's evidence from their investigation. Levy turned them down. Instead, Levy called witnesses before a grand jury. Quote, when you have the leverage the feds have, sometimes you want to put pressure on. You drag people into the grand jury. That kind of stirs the pot, gets people talking, says the former U.S. assistant U.S. attorney, adding that if he had caught wind of an alleged conspiracy, he too would have pulled at a few strings to see where they led. Here we go. Where that led, Brian Albert believes, was to witnesses being treated as suspects. Albert, who was a sergeant, detective, and commander.
Hold up. Brian Albert, a longtime police investigator, just said he was a sergeant, detective, and commander of the Boston Police Department's fugitive unit, who helped catch the Craigslist killer and who earned honors for bravery and valor, said, believes witnesses being treated as suspects. You guys are suspects because Karen Reed didn't kill John O'Keefe with her car and no car hit John O'Keefe. So the only other people that could have unalived John O'Keefe were the people that were in that house, the house which you owned. As a police officer, he should know that they should be suspects from step one. And the fact that they weren't is the problem here. So the idea that a veteran police officer who was a sergeant, detective, and commander would be blown away that they were turned into suspects, that they were treated like suspects. That part has never made sense to me. Mm. It's all the cops that are involved. Every single cop knows that if there is a location where it looks like a murder has happened, that location and all the witnesses in that location are treated like suspects until they are eliminated as suspects. We all know that. Brian Albert knows that.
Right. What's wild to me is that the way Brian Albert's career is portrayed here.
Yes.
This is where it's bad journalism, is truly only through Brian Albert's lens.
Yes.
Brian Albert has multiple IA complaints filed against him while serving as an officer, including for beating up other police officers. But according to Gretchen Voss here, Albert, who was a sergeant, detective, and commander of the Boston Police Department's fugitive unit, who helped catch the Craigslist killer and who earned honors for bravery and valor, was also called to testify before the federal grand jury.
It was his house.
It was very aggressive. I was not in there as a witness, he says. I was in there as the suspect.
As
that was the first
be.
Time anybody of any importance was insinuating that.
As you Just should be. You should have been a suspect.
Just as with his nephew Colin, Brian says the U.S. Attorney's Office appeared to take much of their information from Reed's defense team via Carney's blogs and social posts. Brian says he was tag-teamed by three federal prosecutors, Levy, Deitch, and Chow. I do not rile easily, Brian says. Remember when Karen describes first meeting Brian Albert at the waterfall? Well, no, what was the other bar? The hillside?
Side, yeah.
And he literally was trying to get John O'Keefe to, this was an interview she gave to Gretchen Voss.
Yeah.
She describes to Gretchen Voss that he was trying to get John O'Keefe to go with him to beat somebody up.
Yeah.
But he says he doesn't rile easily.
Well, he was freaking distraught, apparently.
Of course he was freaking distraught. His wife, Nicole, sister of Jennifer McCabe and McCabe's daughter, Allie, who Mel thinks is hot, were also reduced to tears by the hostile questioning during their own testimonies. Okay. While Reed was telling Carney that she had a direct line to the feds, O'Keefe's family could not get a return phone call or email from the U.S. Attorney's Office. John's brother, Paul, reached out to Levy repeatedly and got nothing in response. You know why? Because they can't talk about an ongoing investigation. And I guarantee they did not talk about their ongoing investigation with Reed either. Karen was probably exaggerating her ability to get information to the feds, but I'm sure she was not getting much information back because that's just not how they worked. Though the O'Keefe family and the prosecution could not get any answers, Reed continued to weaponize the feds' involvement for Carney to disseminate.
Oh my God.
Weaponized it.
Weaponize. Fuck off, Gretchen Voss. This is such bullshit.
Well, it's technically true.
Sure, but come
on. It's the characterization, the framing of it is what's funny. I know. Well, yeah. I mean, she did weaponize it. She weaponized it in her own defense. This was a defense weapon. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing. That's the whole thing. There's nothing wrong with any of this. It's just framed as if it's criminal.
Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying Gretchen Voss is a fucking hack is what I'm saying.
Meanwhile, the existence of the federal cases only amplified the harassment of the witnesses and was used to legitimize it with disastrous effects. Disastrous. McCabe says she reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office multiple times, telling them that one of her daughters had become self-harming and had spent 3 months in a partial mental health program. She got no response. Okay. What were they supposed to do with that information?
I'm sorry that happened to your daughter. Period. Done. When I see these little micro aggressions is what the only way I can think of them. It reminds me of my very unhealthy mother who was, I always forget the words. I always forget the diagnosis and I don't know why it will not stay in my brain, but it's,
I know what you mean, borderline personality disorder.
Borderline. Jesus. I don't know why. You always have to tell me when I'm thinking of it every single time. So I had a mother who was borderline. She relied heavily on guilt tactics and poor me-isms. So if something was happening, Jen McCabe reminds me so much of my mother who had borderline personality disorder. When Jen is trying to get people to feel sorry for her, those tactics make my skin crawl.
You know what's gross about it?
Tell me.
If she's so concerned about it, why would she tell Gretchen Voss, who would then later publish it in a magazine that's going to be available in dental and chiropractic offices for the next 2 years?
Right.
You know who knows that Jen's daughter was in
stand.
A partial mental health program and tried to self-harm? You know how people know that now? Because Jen wanted it to be put in a magazine that would be now available in dental and chiropractic offices for 2 years.
But this is what Jen and Allie did on the stand. They kept playing to the jury, like, you know, we're just witnesses. I'm just a regular soccer mom. I've never dealt with anything like this. Like, they play up this, like, you know, a woman who can't do anything for herself. This poor mom, she's just a mom. This is about being a mom. And I don't know why I was being attacked. Well, guess what? A mom can be a suspect. And guess what? All of the things that you did, the 200 calls you made during like the week after John O'Keefe's death, it all looks suspect. You should be a suspect. Your actions make you a suspect. And no one's going to feel sorry for you that people are asking you questions because you look guilty. Mm. And so don't fucking cry and try to make people feel sorry for you.
I also don't like the weaponizing and mental health stuff to try to get out of a jam.
That's my point.
It's gross. It's gross.
Gross.
So do you think, like, if the feds are investigating somebody for tax evasion, right? Say they're investigating me for tax evasion because I haven't paid my taxes in 10 years.
Yeah.
Should I call them and let them know that my son is having a really hard time right now with the hope that they'll back off and not care about my taxes anymore?
If you're Jen McCabe, you think that that's because that's a tactic she's used her whole life.
Because it works. Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. This is where it gets purple again. On July 22nd, 2023,
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry. The audience, several people in the audience keep going, what does Rebecca mean when she's saying this is where it gets purple? Can you explain a little bit? Can you just explain
it? Oh, florid. Again? Like when the writing becomes too flowery and descriptive and silly. And like,
I think people are looking for purple writing on the screen.
Oh, no. No, that's a literary term, a journalistic term. It's not a compliment when you call writing purple. It's an insult. Thank you very much for the $4.99, Dr. Jen Toxic. Yes, Mel.
Thank you.
Please feel free to send a super chat or send us a tip right there linked in the show notes. All right. On July 22nd, 2023, McCabe, her husband, and two of her four daughters huddled inside their Canton home as Carney stood outside screaming into a bullhorn at a crowd of more than 100 followers. I want all of Jen McCabe's neighbors to know, in case they don't already know, that people live here are cop killers. They're cop killers. Over the course of 2 hours, Carney, driving a brand new Lexus.
So?
Can you believe it?
What was Jen driving at the time?
She was driving like a $100,000 Grand Cherokee Wagoneer.
So why does what Aiden is driving, what does that have to do with anything that we're talking
about?
This is
just like when you read stories and it describes how all the women look, but doesn't describe how any of the men look. It's just a sort of a purple way of adding character to somebody, like besmirching or doing character development with an unnecessary detail.
And, you know, a little bit more of a balanced take, you know, if she had decided to go down that route, Voss, she could have mentioned that Jen McCabe was also stalking Aiden and was taking mm-hmm. pictures of where he was.
Yep.
So.
Yep. 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 Okay, let's move forward because I want to get to the Adam Deitch stuff.
Yep.
All the while, the witnesses were being targeted relentlessly. The Free Karen readers, ooh, that's an interesting name, followed and confronted them, showing up at Caitlin Albert's wedding in New Hampshire, posting pictures of the McCabes on vacation in Aruba, screaming at Brian Albert as he tried to eat lunch in a crowded mall food court.
I remember that video.
It got so bad that Colin Albert says he was forced to quit playing football and give up his lifelong dream of playing in college as a result of the harassment from Carney and his followers. He is now enrolled in the U.S. Army.
Bridgewater
State, to believe that Colin Albert would have been a very successful college student had it not been for any of this.
How did Colin get into college?
He was accepted. He dropped out after the FBI came to visit him in his dorm.
He was at Bridgewater State.
He was at Bridgewater State, otherwise known as McAlbert U. Okay. Not knowing what else to do, on August 25th, for the first time in his 12 years in office, Marcy released a nearly six-minute video statement pushing back on the absolutely baseless claims of conspiracy, condemning the harassment of the witnesses and disavowing the, quote, false narratives.
Hold up.
The witness, yes.
Hold up. Hold
yes.
up.
Yes.
Absolutely baseless claims. Like,
yes.
She's stating it as if it's fact.
Well, she's quoting him. She's put quotes around his absolutely baseless. So no, she's not.
She's also quoting him. If you are a layperson and you're reading this,
she's doing the right. I mean, she's not doing anything wrong here.
I'm not saying she's doing anything wrong, but she is stating it. She's making it seem like it's fact.
She's making this whole thing seem like it's fact. That's the point of the feature. That's the angle of this feature.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm just saying. I have not read anything that rises to defamation or anything like that. Nothing in here is technically.
No, I'm not saying anything's defamation either.
Okay.
I just
okay.
think that she's a complete fucking hack. I have to pee. I'll be right.
It's okay. Complete hacks do write unserious pieces for. Would you be happy to have someone hate read your article? Of course. Please. Hate read anything you'd like that I've ever written. I have a really embarrassing piece that I wrote for Newsweek when I first got started. It was a column about how I was getting divorced and how my husband had stopped washing my car. You can go ahead and hate read that if you want. That's kind of embarrassing. Okay. On September 5th, Carney directed remarks in a YouTube live stream toward Chris Albert, the father of Colin Albert. Quote, I go down to your pizza shop and I stand out there for an hour and I yell shit about your son, Carney said. Quote, I accuse him of some of the most heinous things possible and I affect business. People don't want to go into your business because of the things I am saying. Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down. Scroll down, scroll down, scroll down. Carney multipling monitoring witnesses' homes. Mega Barbie, thank you so much for the $9.99. You are one of our favorite listeners. We so appreciate you. We so appreciate you. Unused barren area. Rebecca has thick skin. I do, in fact, have thick skin. I didn't used to, but I do now. Like if you had read my, hate read my very embarrassing Newsweek article in five years ago, I probably would have been like, ouch. Now I'm just like, no, that shit was embarrassing. Okay. It did launch my writing career though. So that was good. That was good. Okay. The witnesses were not the only targets. Now here, I believe is one of Gretchen's real motivators for writing this. The witnesses were not the only targets, Voss writes. In late September of 2023, I wrote a story about the case that raised questions about Reed's account of what had happened the night John O'Keefe was killed.
What had happened? Quote,
no, I said, I added that. Quote, what kind of horrible excuse for a mother supports cop killers? Someone texted me after the story was published, sending a picture of my sons when they were young, taken from my Facebook page. You dragged them into this. Good job, Ms. Voss. My local police department sent extra officers to my son's Friday night football game.
Okay, one thing journalists aren't supposed to do is make themselves the story.
Well, Gretchen, this is a magazine feature. If I can't do it here, when can I do it?
That's true. Ben Burnett, you are very generous, my friend. Thank you so much. You said lovely things and funny things about our members only stream last night on
Twitter.
Yes,
and you mentioned the vibrators, Ben. That was embarrassing.
We talked about vibrators.
Ben, I'm deeply embarrassed.
I wasn't embarrassed because I was talking about the vibrators myself, but I thought it was really funny when Ben tweeted about it. So thanks for the $20, Ben. We really appreciate you. Ben says maybe Rebecca Hate Reads could become a new segment.
Okay. As the bus carrying, I know I'm aware of your time crunch. Don't worry, Mel. I'm going to get to the Adam Dice stuff soon. As the bus carrying the jurors made its way from an undisclosed location to the courthouse each day in the spring of 2024, the 12 jurors who were supposed to know nothing about the case looked out the windows at a massive banner on Route 1A that read in large red letters, Karen Reed was framed. They passed dozens of protesters camped out at Legacy Place along the bus route, wielding posters with slogans like Way Beyond Reasonable Doubt and DA Stop Lying. Even if they weren't looking, there was no avoiding the sounds of people yelling Free Karen Reed at their bus. You know what's not in here? The fact that the McAlberts hired a PR firm to handle quotes around the Karen Reed verdict, how they have instituted a publicity campaign called Testify, and how they got a billboard outside of Gillette Stadium to further their cause.
Testify. I'm a 51B said out in California, if something happened at someone's famous house, there would be reporters literally camped outside their house and nobody got arrested for it. Yeah. I mean, think about the Nancy Guthrie of it all. Mm-hmm. Think about, I mean, anywhere. This is what I hate, because the reason why some of these folks, Sue O'Connell, Gretchen Voss, can get away with their commentary on Turtle Boy is because they reduce him to blogger. But if he were a TMZ reporter, they would actually take him seriously. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either of those things, blogging or TMZ, but Aidan Carney has been doing this since 2014. He's broken cases before, lest we forget the Leah Genduso of it all. Like, he has broken.
And then they had sex 2 years after that, which is wild.
I know. And she follows us on Twitter now. And she warned me, don't think you're going to find anything on my Twitter. And I was like, I'm just following
you. You know, you too could end up having sex with Aidan Carney, Mel, in 2 years.
That
you never know.
There would be so many things wrong with that situation, starting with the fact that I'm practically married and also I'm a lesbian.
Someone wants to know what I know about Gretchen Voss as a person. I know very little about her. She's respected. I know other journalists that I respect and like and respect her. I think she's just very wrong about this, like very wrong about this. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people who are decent human beings have gotten the wrong information and run with it. And she's really tripling down on this in a way that I don't know how the journalists I know who like her and respect her will feel about this, because most of them are really smart. Okay. I asked to meet Deitch to discuss Reid's statements about him and his role in the federal investigation. He agreed, and we spoke for 3 hours over coffee at a restaurant in Milton. In the months before our meeting, Deitch had sold his East Boston condo, moved to Quincy, and left what he calls his dream job at the U.S. Attorney's Office to run for Norfolk County DA, the office whose handling of the Reid case had been the subject of the federal investigation he led. He had told me he heard the recording of Reid, but denied he ever had private conversations with her. Quote, I've never met Karen Reid or communicated with Karen Reid, he said. I did send thank you notes to her and her family after they contributed to my campaign, and I'm proud to have the support of anyone who cares as much as they do about change in the Norfolk County DA's office. Indeed, Reid and her family and lawyers have donated to Deitch's campaign in each of the past 2 years. At press time, Reid's family had contributed more than $5,000 and her legal team at least $9,000. Asked how he can appreciate the support of someone who, on the recording, describes what he insists never happened, he said, I don't know what she meant when she said that.
Hey, can you put the article back up on the screen?
Yes. Reading along with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Two of Reid's cell phones were seized by state authorities in January of 2024 as part of an investigation into witness intimidation connected to Carney. The phones remain in the custody of the Norfolk County DA's office while the Commonwealth appeals a March 2026 order to return them to her. On another leaked recording with Carney, Reid said, do you have any clue what's on my phones that they took? She did not specify. That's inflammatory.
Yes.
To put that there when literally that means nothing, that's inflammatory.
She not did
defamation,
not specify.
But it's an inflammatory piece of writing. If Deitch wins the election, Reid's cell phones will be under his authority. Actually, I beg to differ, Gretchen Voss, because there is an outstanding motion that has yet to be ruled on by Judge Doolin. Right now, Reid's phones are actually like under Judge Doolin's control, and he has the power to return them to her long before the November election takes place. I put Reid's statements on the recording to Deitch.
Wait, go back up. You missed.
Okay. If Deitch wins the election, Reid's cell phones will be under his authority. Carney, facing charges of felony witness intimidation, made his own view of a Deitch win explicit in a live stream in November, just days after Deitch announced his campaign. Carney said, I have no doubts if he was elected district attorney, I think my problems would go away. I would hope so. Okay, that is incomplete and inaccurate because Aidan Carney has said many times, honestly, and fact-based truth, that if Adam Deitch is elected, his trial, which is scheduled to begin in December of 2026, will not be affected at all because Adam Deitch would not take office until January of 2027. So Gretchen, perhaps you should have added that here.
The thing, I mean, what she's doing here, like you can see her motivation. Like you're right. She's going after Adam Deitch. I mean, in this, what she's trying to do is put this on the record so that the public will read it. And so that if Adam Deitch does become DA in that county, he will have to think twice about how he handles the Reid and Carney cases, because she's already accusing him without directly accusing him of favoritism and, you know, and dismiss if he ends up dismissing any of these cases, or he backs out of any of these cases, or he reopens the investigation, it's going to be clouded now because of this article with her saying that he is not impartial.
100%. And it would be anyway. I mean, this is where the conspiracy theories about her alleged ties to Deitch are harmful. And they knew they would work. I mean, this is like, these people have learned a lot from the political tactics of the last decade, and they're using them to great success.
Somebody get these beggars out of here.
By the way, that's a sign of town from the Odyssey that I plan on using. Then will someone get these beggars out of here? Okay. I put Reid's statements on the recording to Deitch. Quote, I'm not going to comment on specific allegations or cases without seeing the evidence, he told me, saying that he has never communicated with or met Carney. If I have a conflict of interest in a particular case, then I will not be involved in the decision-making of that case. And though he says the Norfolk County DA's office has been rife with conflicts, he declined to comment on any of his own. For instance, here we go. Here comes the juice, the dirt about Deitch. The chairman of his campaign committee, Michael Loans, is married to fellow U.S. attorney Ann Perutti, who has co-prosecuted cases with Deitch and whom Deitch says is a close friend. Perutti was also the prosecutor of the federal grand juror who leaked confidential information in the Reid case. She requested a lighter sentence and the judge ultimately issued. Though Deitch declined to discuss it, the talk of an apparent connection and conflict of interest has been circulating online. Perutti and Reid went to high school together, and both were in the Spanish Honors Society, according to a yearbook photo, and were recently, until it was revealed on social media, Pinterest friends.
Pinterest friends. Stop.
Do you understand the close connection being somebody's Pinterest friend reveals?
I didn't even know that you could be a Pinterest friend.
Okay. It's a wonderful way to secretly communicate your favorite wallpaper.
Via Pinterest.
I can't believe they invoke Pinterest friends. What Pinterest friends tells me.
She doesn't have anything else.
What Pinterest friends tells me is that 15 years ago, Karen was on the internet on Facebook and she was like Facebook friends with some of her high school friends or whatever, saw some of her high school friends and they were posting their shit from Pinterest. And Karen was like, oh, I like that wallpaper too. Boom. Pinterest friends.
Yep.
This is very damning. This is very damning. Did you know they were in the Spanish Honor Society together?
I know now because of Gretchen Voss's hard-hitting reporting.
That Perutti, who is the wife of somebody who works on Deitch's campaign, and Karen Reid, in a very small state with very small towns, we're in the Spanish Honor Society together.
Let me ask you something. Did Gretchen Voss record her interview with Aiden?
I don't know. I'm sure he did.
I feel like I heard something about Aiden warning her that if she was recording him, that would be illegal. And she said she wasn't.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if she wasn't recording him because that's what reporters do when they interview people. I know they talked over the phone because he talked about it right after it happened.
Okay.
But if she was recording him, then he could have been recording her reciprocally, which is very common. This happens all the time when you have adversarial interviews.
Yeah.
Like I believe that people in the Eric Spofford reporting, including Eric Spofford himself, were like, if you interview me, I want to tape it too. And our reporters were like, that's fine. Like, it's fine. But I don't actually, I ultimately think that he ended up saying he would do an interview. Okay. Spanish Honor Society.
Pinterest.
Pinterest. That is like the lamest. So I just want to say photos of Karen Reid, of photos of Jen McCabe at the investigating officer's house are now being equated with Karen Reid going to high school with the wife of somebody who's running for district attorney and them being Pinterest friends.
Everyone in the chat is saying that Gretchen told Aiden that it was that if he recorded her, it was illegal.
I mean, it all depends on whether or not she was recording him.
She was recording him. Okay. Anyway, let's go.
If she was recording
lesbians,
if she was recording him, he could have also been recording. It would have been fine. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Deitch has appeared on the YouTube program of Emily C. A free Karen Reid podcaster whose past segments have included mockery of John O'Keefe's mother and of the children of the witnesses. Deitch told me he's
Gretchen Voss. Gretchen Voss. That does sound like defamation right there. Because Emily C. is a saint and I don't recall her ever making fun. Well, I don't know. Maybe she did. Emily, if you're in the chat, let us know if this is true or not. I can't imagine her mocking Peg unless she, I don't know. I mean, I'll mock Peg, but she did, I don't think Emily did.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I just think the idea that you would put Emily C as your exemplar of like evil YouTubers who prove something nefarious. Emily C is
about loophole.
Kindergarten teacher. Who is the widely regarded, even the haters really struggle to find something mean to say about Emily C. When you do, it comes off so bad because she's so nice.
I mean, okay. I'm just saying, like, if she said something about Peg, I can't even imagine that. I mean, I've definitely said, you know, I think Peg probably threw shot put in high school. But
here comes my favorite Morrissey quote in the whole thing. A few weeks after our interview, Deitch declined an invitation to appear on a show called The Forensic Room, hosted by supporters of...
Hold on. It is no longer the Forensic Room. I'm sure you all have noticed. It's not Forensic Room. It is now the actual word Forensic Room because they had more than four hosts. And they
notice also it says... included mockery of John O'Keefe's mother and the children of the witnesses. By children, you mean Colin Albert. The word children is so descriptive. Children, like, sounds like you're talking about a six-year-old, not a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never trusted Emily C's loopy handwriting. She is very, very scary. Mm-hmm. A few weeks after our interview, Deitch declined an invitation to appear on a show called The Forensic Room. The fact that this made news, the Forensic Room ladies immediately wrote to Gretchen Voss and were like, guess what, Gretch? Mm-hmm. Guess what, big Gretch? He declined. Hosted by supporters of the witnesses and the O'Keefe family. Instead, Reed and her father, Bill, intended the grand opening of Deitch's new Quincy campaign. Okay, look how this is framed. Deitch declined an interview and instead... Reed and her father, Bill, attended. So it's like, there's two are
Deitch
not connected.
Did this. Yeah, Deitch did this. Karen and Bill did this.
And then Deitch teleported or coerced.
Who was her editor? Why didn't her editor say, oh, Gretch?
I think that there's a lot about this article that could stand as an interesting angle. But there's a lot that discredits it as an editor that I would have pulled out because I'm like, don't call them children. Yeah. Don't do this. Also, these two things are not connected. So who knows who the editor was, but they did not do a great job. I mean, even I can say, I don't agree with the premise of the story. I don't care for the angle. I think it's like, there's a lot of dishonest brokering in it, but there's a way to do it that would have cut a lot deeper. Yes. And been sharper if this were edited down. And because the stuff that was left in just makes it seem silly. And this is why this is very unserious, guys.
That's why we can see this, because we can see what she's doing. We can see her motivation in between the lines here, because a good editor would have cut out the bullshit. Okay.
5 minutes down the road from the Norfolk DA's office, more than 400 supporters of the witnesses in John O'Keefe's murder investigation gathered on a March evening to raise money to defend themselves against Reed's lawsuit. Long tables flanking the ballroom were loaded with merch for sale. There was a silent auction featuring donated Red Sox tickets and Loon Mountain getaways. Designer upholstered throw pillows, starting at a value of more than $600, had been donated by Natalie Wiewecki, a former Reed intermediary. Okay. I understand that rich people spend $600 on throw pillows. Do we think that people in this part of New England are going to appreciate nor shell out for $600 throw pillows? I don't know.
I'm speechless.
Inside, the crowd, which had grown too large for the dozens of round tables draped in white cloth, rose for a standing ovation of Peg O'Keefe, who was there with her son Paul to support the witnesses. Guess who did not come to their recent fundraiser?
Peg the shot putter.
She's not a shot putter, is she?
We talked about this. I said she was very gruff.
So then they go into the lawsuit. On his live stream since the lawsuit was filed, this is the defamation suit against Carney and Reed. Carney has called Maddie, quote, retarded, and said that Maddie would be, quote, his play toy for the next few years. He said that he would destroy Maddie's reputation. Now is when we double down, motherfucker, he said. I have an army of people behind me. The witnesses had stayed mostly quiet through the investigation, both trials, and years of harassment. At the fundraiser that night, McCabe stood before the crowd of 400 and spoke, quote, "We trusted the process. We trusted the system. We believed if we told the truth and endured, that would be enough," she said. "We were quiet when quiet was right. This time, we are not whispering."
And then they all flipped off the cameras in a group photo.
And then they had their next fundraiser. And a few people showed up, including somebody that Loophole lawyer sent, which is really stupid. And you know who was not there?
Miss Peg O'Keefe.
Yeah. So thoughts? I know your hard out is approaching. I'm going to give you
I have lots of thoughts. Erasing the institutional misconduct and basically relabeling it as manufactured crisis. That's
interesting. Part, I love that. Love that.
That part. She was really selective.
So you said, I'm going to write down what you said because that would be really good on a t-shirt. You said erasing the institutional
misconduct.
Erasing institutional misconduct. And what with
to create a manufactured crisis.
Create a manufactured crisis. I'm thinking Norfolk County DA's office. Erasing institutional misconduct to create a manufactured crisis since 2022.
That's a lot of words. Thanks for the tip, Deanna. That is very generous of you. You're very
generous. Yeah? How generous?
Yeah. $50.
What?
What could
be more generous?
All that you and Rebecca do, keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For the
yes.
Tip.
Karina Kolakethis would like a word about how quiet the witnesses have been. I feel to the Karina Kolakethis besmirchers just as angry as I feel about the Emily C. besmirchers. Do not besmirch Karina.
I think that
who did the right thing.
Article is summed up. It's funny. She's talking about how like Karen Reed and her legal team were feeding information to journalists, which sounds kind of like what happened here in this case.
It's exactly what happened here.
And so the fact that she's trying to make that like I can see her one-sidedness all over this. I'm sure we all can. And I know that sometimes like I do journalism, but I am also an activist, and I'm pretty clear when I'm being an activist about something like the Pamela Smart situation is activism and journalism on my part. I'll say it this way, because the investigation I did into that case resulted in a legal filing for a new trial. But at the same time, I also believe as a human being that she didn't get a fair trial. So that's where the activism and the journalism are there together. Gretchen Voss sells herself as a journalist. And it is very clear that she is acting as an activist in this situation. I wouldn't have a problem with her being an activist if she would just say that that's what she's doing. The problem here
is she doesn't think she's doing that.
How can she not, Rebecca? She's literally taking a side.
This is a point of view feature. Which is not, she is, but this happens all the time in magazine features. It's like when you read the Lindsay Clancy's ex-husband, Patrick Clancy's feature in The New Yorker, are you going to say that feature doesn't have a slant that really makes that woman seem like way more sympathetic? Of course it does. That's what this is. This is just a magazine feature, just a feature story. This is what feature stories are. Feature stories have a point of view. Feature stories, this is not hard-hitting investigative journalism. This is a story that will live in infamy in Botox lobbies at med spas for the next 2 years. That's what this story is. It's just not that serious.
Anyway, I'm not taking it seriously either. I haven't taken Gretchen Voss very seriously for a long time. I just am like, I feel like the verbiage, I feel like the way that she wrote this is trying to make certain people, when they read it, think that this is fact.
Mm.
And it's not.
So, yeah, it's not. But people will read it and take what they make with it. The same way that they'll read something the Turtle Boy writes and say the same thing.
She's talking about witnesses being intimidated in a murder investigation when these witnesses should have been suspects. And that should be the focus, that there were failings by the investigators. Why were there failings by the investigators that turned all of these people into witnesses when they should have been suspects? And then on top of that, she's not even mentioning the fact that a woman was put on trial twice and spent over $1 million to fight those charges and was a mistrial and acquitted. She didn't mention that.
She does. She means, but she basically intimates that the jury was influenced by this targeted campaign, which is
right.
That's the take of those people. Those people approached her. She found them sympathetic because she had been personally attacked too. And okay, she's not trying. Someone says she's trying to throw an election. She's writing a piece from the point of view of people who very much do not want a man elected, but even Gretchen Voss does not believe that a Boston magazine story will influence the outcome of an election. Trust me.
Yep.
If Gretchen Voss believes that, she doesn't. I know she doesn't. This is not serious. Anyway, that was fun to go through with you. I know you got to go for your tennis.
I do. I got to go. I just want to say also that I think it was actually, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, unethical is one word I would use. But for her to say that the Rolling Rally was witness intimidation, for her to intimate that, I think is really fucked up.
Especially since there's an ongoing
needs to check herself.
Criminal matter around that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyway, let's say goodbye to Mel, everybody. She's got to go.
Are you getting off too, or do you want me to leave this on?
I am getting off too. I was just going to say, do all the sales pitch stuff after you left so that you don't have to sit here for it.
Okay. Can you hit the end stream button then?
I can.
I love you all very much. Thank you so much for being here with us. There are almost 1,400 of you here right now. It would be super helpful if you could go and like the video on your way in or out.
Mm.
I love you all so
much. Lisa says to enjoy pickleball.
Lisa. How very dare you.
That's the most homophobic thing you can say to Mel.
So homophobic.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the stream. Bye. Please like the stream. Please subscribe. Please consider becoming a member. We did a banging members only stream last night that you will be able to watch if you become a member today. I got really drunk and we watched Julie Albert's incredible series of police interviews, which are so good that frankly, I could watch them again in May. Anyway, so please consider becoming a member. If you like the channel, share it on your socials, tell your friends to watch. We love being with you here a few times a week and we love hanging out with our subscribers and our members. And consider leaving the podcast a tip. All the links are pasted in the comments. All right, I'm gonna take off. I'm gonna go to my day job and we will see you guys in the next couple of days. Bye.
Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, allegedly. I'm smart.
Happy Monday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie. Happy gay summer, Mel.
Happy hump day, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm not humping anybody. I'm Rebecca Lavoie.
Happy Saturday, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
Oh, no.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and my mic is muted.
Good morning, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie, and that's Briscoe.
And welcome to Something's Off, a true crime podcast where we swat the haters aside with our astute takes and humor and joy.
Oh, the joylessness of those people. Hags.
You hear it first in the break in the story. One little crack and the whole thing gets wary. A witness swears, but the timeline bends. A smile too smooth and the trail just ends. Mel Barrett says, hold up, look. It's not the truth, there's a shadow lying running through the room. Something's off, something's off. You can feel it in the bones. Something's off, something's off. When the facts won't come home. Something's off, something's off. And the case won't stay in place. Something's off. We're the ones who chase.
This is literally because it's 100 It's been happening for the past like day.
Oh, dear God. Everywhere's a hotspot when Dr. Wolf is on the TV. Am I right? Everywhere's a hotspot when Dr. Wolf is on the TV. I'm sorry. This is very funny.
What are you laughing about?
Because you're just sitting there waiting for the video to start.
I was listening this whole time. You
listening to what? You're not playing anything. And now you're frozen. God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Let me text Mel. Let me call Mel. I'm going to call Mel.
No, I'm not answering your call. I'm not doing it. Why is it? Oh, Jesus.
Maybe go back on the Wi-Fi.
I am back on the Wi-Fi. Can you hear me now? Can we do the show now? Should we do the show now? Rebecca? Rebecca, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Hello, internet. Hello.
Hello? Hello, worldwide interwebs. Can you hear me? Let's do this. I have to look at my phone over here.
We're gonna go members only.
We're the ones who chase. Yeah, we're the ones who chase. Wait, did that witness just blink three times? Something's up.